Is it recording?
Yeah, although this is up and running and it's recording, so as long as this stays on. I don't know if anyone is calling in today or not. Okay, so just for future reference, it's the same meeting, Zoom meeting ID for every single meeting. And it's posted right on the meeting on the website, on our office website, right in the little, there's a little box there. And so people can literally click on it and typically we'll have meeting materials there too. So even if you have to attend remotely, you'd have all the same meeting packet materials as if you were here, and you would count towards, your voting member would count towards quorum. And so, you know, if you ever need to take advantage of that, it's accessible.
I'm actually
going to
send an email.
Hi, Dale.
I said, wow, speaking of email, so,
did you do that from the meeting website?
Yeah, I went right through here. Right easily on the homepage.
Yeah, so we didn't get the meeting materials up there before the meeting today. We're still in the process of doing training and getting things up and running, but I think we're going to have a good system in place because we have Margaret now. So we'll go back and I can grab those out and bring it back. Just that way if you need to start the meeting.
Fantastic. Can you sit there to avoid the camera?
Mm-hmm.
No. Richard. Oh. Or is it just a coincidence?
Yes, I had to leave the camera. Oh, thankfully I'm across the floor. Anyways, so the time is 4:33. We have a quorum. Materials are forthcoming. So I think we do have a new member, so I want to welcome Carlton. You've been in a number of our meetings, but now you're officially a member, so it's my pleasure to welcome you. If you'd like to say a few brief words, just introduce yourself. I'm pretty sure we haven't seen you, but we don't necessarily know anything about you.
Yeah. I'm a sophomore physics major in the College of Arts and Sciences. I'm here to try to represent the voices of undergraduates as best I can. As all of you are here for your own demographics, and I hope to have a good time here.
Fantastic, thank you. And I know Dale is quasi-new, so if you'd like to say a few words, I'm going to just run around and introduce yourself, so because we have a member and we're waiting on materials. So.
Hi, I'm Dale. I'm the Vice President of Internal Operations at the Undergraduate Student Assembly. I was actually on this committee during spring semester 2016, so finally back.
Hi, I'm the new clerk for the CJC. I'm Margaret Lee. I'm a sophomore in ILR, and I'm also.
ILR?
Yes, I am.
You're not my class, are
you? Oh,
sorry.
I was actually in Professor Griffith.
Okay, great.
And I'm also a member of the Student Assembly Financial Aid Review Committee.
Welcome.
Richard Menzel. I'm in the Department of Government, professor.
As painful as this is, as I'm Lisa Lieberwitz, I don't usually sound like this, and I'm an ILR faculty member.
My name is Victoria. I'm a third-year law student.
And I'm Matthew. I'm a second-year dual JD MBA and a 2016 graduate of ILR. So
I didn't get to say my major. I'm a mechanical engineer.
Very good graduate. And speaking of, here are the materials. Thank you so much, Matt.
Is this the
stuff you sent out? Yes, it is. So the first item will be our minutes, but being that we are currently being passed out, I'm going to skip down to the list of the sent to the working group updates and vacancies. So in terms of the working group, looking at free speech on campus, will be meeting this coming Friday at 1 p.m. I received a reserved man, room 100, I'll send the amount of those on the working group and the whole CJC member and CJC listserv this evening or tomorrow morning. I get bogged down. That being said, we do have a few vacancies on that working group. We have a vacancy for a graduate student, vacancy for the chair, and a vacancy for an undergraduate student, all coming from the CJC. So, that being said, Professor Lieberwitz had offered to serve as chair at our first meeting. Thank you. Her candidacy was eventually withdrawn, but since we've had the vacancy, I've been working with her. She's an actor, was acting chair. So, assuming there's no dissent, I know she'd like to continue that, and ask for confirmation on that. Also, for the undergrad seat, I know Carlton expressed an interest, and for the graduate seat, I don't know. Actually, I haven't asked Victoria, but I know Casey Ashford that expressed interest, but however we should discuss with that. So, are there any comments, questions, actually, first off, Victoria, would you like to be on the committee?
Yeah, I'd like to do it.
Okay. I'm going to have to go with them. which is not a problem. I will need to proceed up to bring our ballots. But first off, are there any questions or concerns with Mr. Leibowitz serving as the chair of the working group? Hearing none, I'm going to ask for a formal vote on this. Just for the record, all those who are in favor of appointing Mr. Leibowitz the chair, please raise your hand on the All who are opposed, the chair abstains. I vote 5-0-1. Congratulations, Mr. Leibowitz.
Thank you. We do have a forum.
Right? Yes, we do have a forum. Yes, and then, so next we have Carlton. I know Dale had declined to serve, so that would be the only other voting members of the committee. So are there any objections to Carlton serving? Hearing none, let's ask for a vote for the formality because we are taking the formal action. All those in favor of appointing Carlton, please raise your hand. All the like, all opposed, all the like, stay. Chair abstains. I'm sorry, I did your vote.
Am I allowed to vote?
You are actually, yeah.
Okay.
So by a vote of 5-0-1, congratulations, Carlton. I will, as the meeting's at 1 o'clock Friday, I know one member couldn't make it. Unfortunately, I didn't even get his availability. And so I know we'll be taking notes and we'll have it posted. I will be working the office assemblies. I've been told they have a clerk and it's just a matter of being able to accept. But our hope is to be able to do it quickly.
I'm sorry, will the meeting be always held on Fridays at 1?
That is what we're going to determine in the first meeting.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, just let us know because we have about 4 people waiting in the wings.
Absolutely.
That once we figure out what the schedule is, then we can determine which one we could actually hire based on what their class schedule is. So,
fantastic.
Thank you. That's exciting.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. For those who are following the event, we have had some trouble scheduling, which is why at this point, after speaking with President Leibowitz, it's part of the break. We've decided the group needs to meet.
Yeah.
We sent out a poll. The last time was 1 o'clock Friday because at this point, waiting for the perfect time, we've been waiting for a while. I mean, this is certainly what we're moving forward.
Yeah.
So, in terms of that, so we said the working group will be meeting Friday. we are waiting. We have one, we have a new employee member who is, whose name is escaping me, Scott something, but he has joined the employee assembly. I know the EA is looking for another appointee. So, in this case, we are, actually, George, thank you for reminding. In this case, we have 6 of these 8 confirmed, and once we determine whether it'll be Victoria or Casey, you will then be in shape to have the group 7-8 staffed. That being said, Ms. Ashford had expressed an interest, Victoria had expressed an interest, so Ms. Ashford can give me a brief thing about her if you'd like me, I will read it, and then Casey, I'm sorry, Victoria would like to read yours, then we'll have, I will cut something up so we have a ballot of some sort.
So as you all know, I've been sitting on this committee for a while. Originally, what attracted me to this committee was that they're going to be taking up not only the potential code overhaul, but also this particular issue. My perspective is sort of both as a law student and as a person of color. So I think it's interesting to sort of see how this committee's been working. I've been on it for a while, so I think I could bring that perspective, and I think I could also bring a student perspective as well. I've been an undergraduate and a graduate, so I have a slightly different experience than some of the other students, but still have a student perspective. And in terms of preparations for this, I've gone to all of these meetings. I've gone to a lot of the different hate speech and free speech presentations that we've had in the law school and on campus, so I think I'm pretty well informed about the issue, but of course, always ready to learn more because there's no way that you can know everything there is to know about this issue. And I'd like to serve if you'd like to have me.
From Ms. Ashford, she is a 2012 graduate of the ILR school. As an undergraduate, a second year law student, has been to a number of committee meetings over the past semester. I can validate that. It's not for our minutes, but I think we've all seen her. She, also from her administrator, she has sent me emails about various matters. She says that she was a former member of the university hearing review boards when she was an undergrad, and she's interested in soliciting an opinion to help address this complex issue and appreciates consideration. Which is a relatively brief statement, I didn't paraphrase a little bit, but I have 2 ballots. I've been prepared for 1 minute while I rip some more up, and then we'll have a ballot vote. And then I will ask the clerk to, once we have the votes, to accompany me. Let's count them.
Is there any chance the committee would be interested in doing heads down, hands up?
Originally, it would be ballot.
It would be ballot.
Yes. And this number is very important. Very 4. Good. take one in. Let's see, people there.
No possibility for being both.
Okay, pretty one. These commission is 8 members. I mean, we can amend it to add a 9th. That could create a issue with other constituencies wanting to lead. The workshop is open, so anyone is free to attend any of the meetings and interact with them. That was one of the core things that the committee
decided. It's just that having 2 volunteers for 1 spot is like the reverse of the problem.
I completely concur. But I mean, we could by majority vote alter the charge of working group to add an additional seat. That being said, that would likely, if we were to do that, the other constituencies likely would start asking why there are additional seats being created. Potentially, it could be an odd issue, could be an issue. We could choose to abstain from, we could choose to postpone this until such time as Ms. Ashford is here. She had noted that she is doing something with mock trial and is unable to attend this week. So I am, whatever the committee is amenable to doing, but a ballot vote is, if we're going to vote, a ballot vote would be the traditional way to do so.
I kind of think we should just put them both on and see what happens. I mean, I having a surplus of energy is more important.
Absolutely. And so, thank you, Richard. That would be a motion to amend the working group charge to add a 9th seat so we can then both see both Victoria Price and Casey Ashford as CDC graduate members or CDC members. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is there a second for that motion? There's a second. Okay, in that case, we're going to move in discussion about adding a 9th seat to the working group to accommodate both Ms. Price and Ms. Ashford. Is there anyone who would like to, speak on that matter? And Peter, just to catch you up, we've confirmed Mr. Leibowitz as chair. Carlton has been added as a member of the working group. Both Victoria Price and Casey Ashford are seeking the graduate seat. Richard has made a motion to add a 9th seat to TNC. Okay. Any discussion on that?
Do you think it's particularly, I mean, I don't know a lot about how the assemblies are viewing this, but do you think it's particularly likely for the assemblies to want to add other members? And if so, do you think that would hold up the process? Because if that's what it's going to come down to, I can just go as a committee member. I don't physically need to be on the committee to contribute.
That's an excellent question. I don't know for certain. I do know that there is a potential for that, and if people start asking for more seats, I mean, to put the other side, if I were to get an email from an assembly saying, I don't know which one it would be, saying we want more seats or we want additional seats, I would come to this committee, and it could be difficult to say to articulate why another individual should not have a seat, considering that we've done this here. That being said, the work group is meant to be open, and however the committee chooses to vote, the work group is charged explicitly authorized for amendment via majority vote. So we could amend it right here and now, but I don't know how people would react.
Yeah. I'm kind of against amending to increase the membership because it is open. So regardless of whether we put you or Casey on it, the other one is if you're both really interested, you'll both still go to the meeting to both still help the committee. You'll both be on the CJC, whereas amending it could open the can of worms. I know it was hotly contested when we had the internal election to put an undergraduate to fill the 1 seat that we had. And I don't think people would really want to then find out that it's being increased, where you don't really need a larger committee to do this work if people are still going to the meetings. Plus, you're both still being in the CJC, so it's not like you're shut out of the communication line.
And just a note for the record, the meeting will be Friday at 1 o'clock. I plan to send that both to the CJC members and the CJC's general info listserv. And the hope going forward is to ensure that the whole committee is kept apprised of this, because whatever the working group will do will eventually wind its way back up to us. Therefore, to my estimation, to have us in touch. How would we choose to proceed with the committee, Richard?
Yeah, my concern, I mean, my concern is energy and getting it forward. And keeping it. Not sometimes constituencies appoint people. And this is a case where we could keep that. I actually like the idea that it's the undergraduate of which?
The undergraduate assembly.
Yeah. So if there's more energy to come from there, I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
But in terms of getting a quorum, it's now at 9 members. So you need 5 people for a quorum.
Yeah, but if you get the additional members, almost a guaranteed.
But you're also increasing by 1 person the number of people.
No, I understand. But
individuals, it's 8 rooms, and there are 4 to 5.
It's at 9 right now.
It would be proposals move to 9. And just to note also, we have had trouble with scheduling, finding mutually convenient times. Just so you have to know, that's why it would be this Wednesday, Friday.
So what do you think? You're going to be chair.
Well, having heard that there was a hotly contested election for the undergrad seat, it seems to me that we should just use the process that we agreed on.
Okay, then I withdraw my motion.
Is there any sense of withdrawal? Hearing none, we'll back onto this. So we are back to the point where we would need to decide which course of action. We can postpone this for a week and allow, you can in essence allow Ms. Ashford to be here next week to discuss it. As I said, everyone will know the meeting is Friday at 1 p.m. I don't know anyone's availability aside from people we had previously confirmed. We can have that. We can vote on someone now via ballots, or we can pursue some other course of action if I miss something. Are there any motions or comments on the table?
I'm going to move to reverse everything I just said and go back to your motion, because I don't think we should delay the process any longer, and it would keep the number needed for quorum the same. I was wrong. Since going from 8 to 9. And I don't think the undergrads are going to be that upset.
Reese on that record.
I renew my motion for the purpose.
I second discussion. We have a motion, we have a second. Reese,
I think we should have the process move as we originally agreed, and I think we should vote now.
Understood.
I think we just need to move forward.
Thank you. So in that case, we have a motion, we have a second. We're in discussion, we are moving to discussion on that motion. Richard's motion has been brought back to the table.
Really?
So it happened.
I'm mainly in favor of doing whatever we're doing now, whether it's voting between Victoria and Casey or putting them both on. I don't think it makes a big difference. It should just be done at this meeting, though.
What we could do is just vote now and then
expand
discuss my motion, which I think is so.
So voting, so to clarify procedurally, voting now would mean the committee would pick between the current price,
exactly,
and Casey Ashford, upon which time after we've been discussing that. We have for the 5 or so minutes allocated.
Because I do want to get the committee.
Okay. So in that case, procedurally, we have our discussion of the motion. We will have to dispose of it or withdraw it. And you're doing it as delivery.
I withdraw the
motion. Okay. So there need to send to withdrawing. Hearing none, the motion is withdrawn. We are back into the vote. Is there any dissent to everyone voting? Hearing none, please write your vote on a piece of paper, and then I will have the power to have Gabe watch it as I count them, and I will report the winner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh, thank you.
We assume that Casey is voting for herself. She's not present. There are no proxy votes.
Vote
for herself.
No,
but she cannot vote for herself.
You got one. Yeah.
So I will collect votes, and I will have Mr. Bob watch to count them. The tallies are not reported, but we will know the result. Thank you.
Wait, is this technically an executive session?
No, this is regular session.
Somebody's probably going to watch the video.
Did you already have the executive session discussion?
Oh, yes, I will bring that back. Thank you. We went on the border because the materials were a little late. So, Gabe, you just tallies. All right. This is procedural regularity.
Okay. Is somebody here?
Victoria, congratulations.
All
nobody's
right.
On the call right
now.
But it's all recorded, so you can watch it later.
Well.
Fantastic. Well, I will, as I said, everyone is welcome to the meetings. So congratulations, Victoria. The working group is now 7 out of 18 staff. And we are free to enlarge the We're free to enlarge the membership. What we could also choose to do, in the interest of time, is, as much as we is bad, see how things start getting off to speed, and if later choose to do that, or we could vote on the Dale and Richard's motion now if we so desire. Is there any preference?
I move to table the discussion until Casey is at a meeting.
Understood. Is there a motion to table until next meeting order, or whatever time is asked for is next to the meeting? Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Any dissent? Therefore, by unanimous consent, this table to the next meeting. Just coincidental because I expect the update from the working group will become relatively standard. Moving back into our regular agenda, we have materials.
Can I just, um, I, I'm a little confused about the membership.
Of course.
Sorry. I've got to hear this for the first time now. What is the actual membership in terms of our employee members?
So the employee member, so it's 8 people, four from the CJC, 4 from the constituency, 1 from each. We have, I want to say Scott starts with an S, Stroger, sorry, I'm butchering his name, but I know I am. He was appointed by the EA. Our 2 employee members, Jeremy Cruiser and Chief Zoner, have chosen not to serve, therefore the EA is going to be trying to solicit people to fill both seats.
Okay.
And that is where we are with that. So we have 7 out of 8 members seated, and we're just waiting on the last EA individual. I've been told that they are working diligently on it, and we'll hopefully have someone to us shortly. And we confirm the other 7, or receive 3, confirm 4, and confirm 3. Fantastic. So moving back to the agenda, we skipped down to the working group. We were waiting for the minutes to pass out. Prior to the approval of the minutes, members on our listserv will have noticed a message from the Office of the Assemblies, Gina DeBattista, prior to this meeting. I will be sending a formal response to her later this evening. I know I've spoken to Mr. Kaufman about it, and therefore he's also sent a response. But just to clarify, it has been the practice, as long as I can remember, going back about over 4 years, that executive sessions are denoted on the agenda when they are scheduled. We always do enter them into the minutes once we do so. And traditionally, we also will ask if there's any dissent moving into executive session. There is a technical argument that we should help hold a formal vote, but unanimous consent, in this case, if someone dissented, we would hold the vote. But just to note that we are, to the best of my understanding, as well as our well-established historical precedent, well within our procedures by noting the executive session on the agenda.
I just, so the, it does, so the charter does require that when we go into an executive session, we have to give a purpose. And so I would propose that under the executive session, we include to discuss matters important to the committee. Because it was requested, and I think that we should honor that request.
Absolutely. There's a motion to add that to the agenda, which in the past have also read in our executive session, but it is not, that doesn't matter if we do it now or later. So that was a motion.
Yeah.
Was there a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
The second. Is there any dissent? Hearing none, the agenda has been amended to read executive session to discuss matters of importance to the committee.
Matters important to the committee.
Thank you. Instead, moving back on the approval of minutes, the November 15th minutes, I have not received a copy of. I actually had, they were not in our last agenda because we're reviewing the minutes from November 29th. I noticed we tabled them. I have not received a copy of the November 15th minutes. I will be following up the office assemblies to receive a copy. Also, next is November 29th minutes. The minutes that we have here are not the ones that were emailed out. So, I do not know. The ones that we emailed out are the correct version. These ones have, for instance, under a chair of the year review board, it's blank. The version I had sent out corrects that to Claire Futrell, as well as also noting that Victoria Price sent out that they were present. Jason Gagne was not. I mean, there were other corrections that were made prior to this being sent out. The electronic version you received is the correct version. The only changes were, if I recall, to filling the blank, correcting the attendance, and then I believe I corrected a typographical error or small error within I described, and that was sent out through electronic version. Because it's been the traditional practice that the chair will do the minutes, correct obvious errors, and then send it along. This does not have to reflect that, but are there any comments or concerns about these minutes? Hearing none, there is no speakers list. The chair puts the question. All those in favor of approving the minutes as emailed with the corrected minutes, please raise your hand for a placard. All who are opposed, all who abstain, chair abstains, I vote 5-0-1, the minutes are approved. Thank you. Next is minutes of January 31st. There was a slight, I believe there's also another typo fix I made. I don't believe it made this version. The electronic version you received that was circulated to the listserv and info list is the correct version. That being said, are there any comments, questions, or concerns regarding these minutes? Hearing none, there is no speakers list. The chair puts the question. All in favor of approving these minutes, please raise your hand or placard. All who are opposed, all who abstain, the chair abstains. I vote 5-0-1. These minutes are approved. Thank you. February 7th minutes, we also are waiting upon, and once they are provided to us, they will be sent type circulated and set for approval. Next, moving back to business of the day, we wrapped up a working group update. Are there any final comments or questions regarding that? Hearing none, we move into UA resolution number 5.
No, the February 7th minutes are on the back of the agenda. Sorry, the printer was messed up.
Thank you for that.
Which document
are we looking at? It's the penultimate page. So this R11 is the last document.
Okay.
One would be the prior. Thank you.
I didn't get R11.
It's all together on the agenda.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So I printed my app. Does that mean that I'm
right?
I printed out the materials.
He wouldn't have it, that's it. Just to summarize orally, we did not have a quorum on the February 7th meeting, so there's nothing to report. I would ordinarily ask these table because we haven't seen them prior, but considering that they are more of the same reason than a quorum, which is accurate, are there any, if there are two no comments or questions?
Can I move to amend the minutes?
Absolutely, yeah.
Just to include myself under present?
Thank you. I was trying to recall that. So there's been a motion to move. Actually, you're not even listening at all. Are you under present?
I was
a member of the committee at the point prior. Well, either way, there's a motion to add Dale to the present. Technically, a temporary fix wouldn't need a formal vote. So, since there's no objections, we will do that. Thank you very much. That accords my memory. Are there any other comments or questions regarding the minutes of February 7th? Hearing none, speakers. List is exhausted. The chair puts question. All in favor of approving the minutes of February 7th, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed. All like to abstain. I vote 5-0-1. That motion, or the minutes are approved. Thank you. And then moving us back into business today, that brings us to UA Resolution 5, the bylaws change, clarifying the charge of the Codes and Judicial Committee. This is separate. It was included in the packet. I'm not sure where it's in our packets, but this resolution is one that's been sent out. It was discussed in the fall. It was brought into the University Assembly. The Assembly requested it be sent back to this committee. We discussed it at all of our prior meetings, my recollection. It is adding three areas to our bylaws. First being that the CDC has the authority to look into matters regarding policy 6.4 under our authority on policy 4.1. Mentions the holiday lighting and safety guidelines, and finally mentions the non-matriculated minors, which is presuming that the non-matriculated minors portion will pass the code changes. I have no reason to suspect it wouldn't. As mentioned before, this is primarily to document areas that A, this committee has historically looked at, B, noting that things such as the fire safety guidelines don't come up frequently to ensure they are not forgotten. Anecdotally, I remember the first time I found it, I was chair of the assembly, and I had a reporter contacting me asking about them, and then it was an interesting experience to find these are under our authority. That being said, are there any comments, questions, or concerns, or other discussion concerning Resolution 5?
Richard? Yes. I'm probably the only person who doesn't know this. A lot of this, obviously, 4.1. So
policy 4.1. Is part of the policy on policies. And so Cornell, in essence, policy 4.1 describes what a stakeholder is, and in essence, meaning that you have the right to written formal comment and are considered a core party in regards to the development of a policy. When the UA in 2012 sectioned off sexual assault out of the code, or enforcement of sexual assault out of the code in policy 6.4, the resolution that did that stipulated that by doing so, the UA was going to receive in return, so to speak, a formal stakeholder status in regards to policy 6.4. So it was the UA and all constituent assemblies. And it's important to note that because this policy 4.1 outlines certain procedures and certain privileges stakeholders are entitled to receive. It's important to note this here because I would imagine within a couple of years, it's not going to, people will forget what exactly that means.
And 6.4
is the policy that concerns protected status, harassment, and sexual misconduct. Just briefly, 6.4 has existed for staff for, I believe, a considerable amount of time. In 2012, or thereabouts, in response to the Dear Colleague letter issued by the Office of Civil Rights and the Department of Education, the UA had engaged in discussions with the administration and counsel's office, and in doing so, decided the best way to move forward, because the Dear Colleague letter stated we must lower the quantum of evidence in use for sexual misconduct to preponderance from clear and convincing versus the rest of the code, and it would be best to section out enforcement of sexual misconduct to 6.4. So 6.4 right now is protected status harassment for employees, protected status harassment for students and faculty remains in the code. Sexual misconduct is complete in 6.4. Sexual misconduct remains a violation of the campus code of conduct. However, the adjudications of that are handled in 6.4. And when we did that, we were given stakeholder status in policy 4.1.
Got it.
Okay. Any other comments or concerns? Yeah.
It's just a sheer coincidence that this is section 4.1 of the UA Charter.
That is a sheer coincidence. Okay. Thanks for noting that. It has a sense of humor. So it does. Anything else? Anyone else have anything to add? Hearing none, the speaker list is exhausted. The chair puts the question. All those who are in favor of approving resolution 5 back to the main UA assembly, please raise your hand or placard. All who are opposed. All by the same. By a vote of 5-0-1, the resolution is approved. That will ensure is conveyed to the University Assembly Executive Committee, so it may be placed on our agenda. You've come up for that in just a moment, correct? Yeah. Okay, so this will make it to the next agenda then. That brings us to our next and I would imagine primary item of business, UA Resolution 11, which is regarding the President's proposal of a one-year term extension to the judicial administrator. I'll provide some brief background, and actually, we have Mr. Kaufman, the Chair of the Assembly here, so if you'd like to add anything, I'll turn it over to him afterwards. This relates partially to our discussion from the fall regarding the reappointment of the judicial administrator. As members may recall, the current process in the code stipulates that in October, prior to the term expiration of term of JA, we are obligated to convene a search committee regardless of whether or not we are seeking to reappoint or just going to search again. Procedurally, as far as I can locate, as far as I can remember, we have not done a search committee for a number of years. My understanding is it's a holdover back when the JA used to be an internal hire, and therefore a search committee could be relatively easily and costlessly assembled. The UA, upon the urging of the Office of the JA, looked at possible solutions. We eventually adopted a solution where 6 months prior to the term expiration, there would be a modified committee that would look at performance, evaluate performance, provide feedback, and then provide a recommendation to the President's ultimate approval of whether or not the JA should be reappointed. President Pollack returned that resolution to us. We've been discussing it at our prior meetings. However, the fact remains that current JA, Michelle Barbath's term, expires in June of this year. Therefore, the question is what action, if any, to take about this. I was informed the University Assembly's Executive Committee met this past Tuesday Tuesday prior to the break, with President Pollack to discuss this matter. And in response, the University Assembly's Executive Committee has sponsored Resolution 11, which was placed on the UA's full agenda at our last meeting, last Tuesday before the break. It is brought before this committee because it does concern the code, and therefore the bylaws would technically require us to look at it and approve it, considering this is some urgency. It was not formally committed to this committee, but I believe it is something that we need to have a discussion on, we need to examine. In essence, this resolution, we were seeing the amended version that was as amended on the floor of the UA. It concurs with the reappointment of Michelle Horvath for one additional year. It's not quite clear if the reappointment or extension, but they have the same end result that Michelle's term would go through June 29, 2019. I have some points to add, but I'll add myself to speak to this because they're more editorial. But that is the resolution as it stands. Mr. Kaufman, if you'd like to add anything you added to the main, also noting that the yes.
I think you covered most of it. So yeah. The only thing is sort of the UA didn't refer this to the CJC.
That's correct.
But as it pertains to like CJC stuff, you know, you guys should definitely look at it and make recommendations about it, because the UA like relies on you to do that. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So this version contains Martin Hatch's.
That is correct.
So I have a proposal.
Absolutely.
Or amendment. Mm-hmm. So on line 21, instead of the university assembly concurs with the president's proposal, I would say the university assembly proposes to extend.
Actually, just also to clarify, this was not formally committed to us, and while the bylaws make this our purview, anything we discuss, I will bring to the full UA as, in essence, suggested amendments by the CJC. So we don't actually have to formally amend it, but procedurally, we'd like to follow that procedure just to make everyone's lives easier. So is there a motion to amend the agenda, the resolution? Is there a second to that motion? Actually, first, Richard, do you want to explain what your rationale is behind that?
It's, actually, I ran into to the president after the faculty meeting, the faculty senate meeting.
Last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday. Yeah. And we talked briefly about the judicial administrator, and she was fine with Martin's revisions. But I suggested to reminded her that this was still a concern that the university assembly's prerogatives should be recognized by the administration, even as we moved through this. I also gave Michelle a personal recommendation, which maybe it's counterproductive, I don't know. But this does that. I know that this is the result of a negotiation with the president, but concurs with the president's proposal. I'd rather it be that we propose to extend rather than recognize the word and exercise of power, which is what it was.
Thank you. So then there's a motion to amend. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Moving to discussion, are there any comments or questions regarding that amendment? Hearing none. There's no speakers list. The chair puts the question. All those in favor of recommending this language to the full university assembly, use your hand or placard. All opposed. In all electors, say. So we go to 501. I will convey that to the full university assembly at our meeting this coming Tuesday for this area. Are there any other comments or questions regarding this deal?
I was hoping somebody could enlighten me a little bit on the process of how this is all working, since aren't we all in violation of the UA's guidelines with the new JA? Is everyone just consciously skirting the rules a little so that we can have a better procedure for the future?
That is an excellent question. I will explain it as best I am aware. The UA's charter explicitly references that for the appointment and handling of the JA, we follow the code. Code states what I outlined at the beginning, we have a search committee. We have not done that. I know Mr. Kaufman, if I recall, had offered to issue a search committee in October. That did not come to fruition, and I believe everyone would agree it would have been wasteful. However, therefore, we are in the fact that the JA's term expires in June. The president has indicated that a one-year extension as opposed to a two-year reappointment is what she is in favor of. This resolution is simply on it. It's simply on the UA's agenda. There's no action been taken about it. But in essence, so it's... It is a procedure. I mean, the president's office, even by asking for a one-year term, is also the code does not contemplate a one-year term. And noting for the record, the president has expressed concerns about how we reappoint hearing board members for one-year terms or multiple-year terms that don't necessarily follow the code. We've been asked, is my understanding, to accede to this to allow time for a renegotiation of the full process, which is something that I, this committee, Professor Hatch has mentioned explicitly that the CJC will be a part of. And before any formal language goes through, because it would be a code amendment, it will come through this committee for approval.
And assuming that we get something properly negotiated and passes through this committee, it would have to be passed by the UA in order for this process not to repeat next year. The language is passed.
It would have to, it could.
What's the latest?
Practically, it could pass the day before it's needed. The president, it could pass. passed the UA meeting, the president could accept it moments after. So procedurally, up until the 11th hour, practically, sooner is better. I know my understanding of what has been conveyed to me is that the goal is to have something devised by the end of this year. I know the resolution contemplates, I believe, 1 month, or it was discussed at the UA meeting, they didn't have this done within a month. Whether or not that happens, I think the intent is clear to have it done during this semester. And the fact that we also have had discussions about where we think we can go with it is something that I think will allow us to hopefully move that along and that will move us forward.
And that language will include a search committee?
Yes, and actually, I have some other information on this area, which I'll bring forward during the executive session, but just to provide context and to ensure that we are transparent where we can be transparent. Anything else? Any other comments or questions concerning this resolution? Tori?
I just have a quick question. Assuming that we do get a new process passed and approved, would the current JA be eligible to be reappointed through that process?
I would see no reason not to. When we could, in theory, exclude it, I don't think we would.
Okay. Just curious.
Absolutely. My understanding is that you should.
Okay.
Anything else? Seeing none, as I mentioned before, we have a scheduled executive session. I know we are running slightly ahead of schedule, but considering that that is the next item of our agenda, it does relate at least tangentially to UAR 11. Is there any dissent to entering into executive session with a note that the meeting will be adjourned once the executive session completes?
Good. I understand this. Mm-hmm. Matt, we've approved the amendment.
Yes. So what I
and we've approved the resolution.
No, we have not.
So we don't want to do that before we go into the executive session?
I have questions and comments regarding the resolution. Being that this is not formally in front of us, or not formally our resolution, the amendment we proposed has to go to the UA itself. We have to ratify.
I would just say that we're friendly, in a friendly way, disposed to the resolution. So
you're free to do that. The information that relates to this resolution I'm going to be conveying in the executive session may result in some other information that we for a further discussion on this topic, which is why I would, if possible, unless the committee decides otherwise.
So after we go into executive session, we come back out and do this.
That's correct.
If we want. Okay.
Yes, we do. So in that case, is there any dissent to enter an executive session, after which we will come out of it, if necessary, hold another discussion, and then adjourn? Hearing none, we will now move into executive session. Margaret, you are actually free to go. So what we're going to do is stop the recording before we go into the executive session. You take the placards and the like. Once we come out of the executive session, if we take conduct any business, I will keep a record of it and email it to you so it can be incorporated in the minutes as well as the time of our adjournment. But executive session, if you don't already know, is when the only, in essence, it's only the members of the committee discuss matters that are otherwise confidential. So, you can stop the recording. If you're going to leave, just grab the placards and pile them up so she doesn't have to wait around for us.